Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Here's an offer you don't want to miss. For just $3, treat yourself to a Krispy Kreme donut, like their irresistible chocolate donut with sprinkles, and an any size hot coffee or refreshing iced tea. Just three. Whether you're fueling up for the day or just taking a sweet break, this deal is for you. Price and participation may vary. Offer valid December 10th through April 30th, 2025 at participating McDonald's while supplies last. Krispy Kreme and associated trademarks used under license. Copyright 2024 KKDC. Copyright 2024 McDonald's.
Meet Claude, Anthropic's AI assistant, ready to transform how your organization works. Empower every person in your organization with AI that thinks like a teammate, not a tool. Securely upload your company knowledge and watch as Claude helps every department, from engineering to marketing, produce their best work faster. Your data stays protected while your teams reach new heights. Discover enterprise-grade AI at anthropic.com/enterprise.
Dave Moore
on Today FM.
Quarter West Live sitting in front of me. Nikki Byrne, how are you?
Whoa, I'm good. How are you doing?
Good morning. In bearing gifts. Thank you very much. Happy Christmas, my friend.
Merry Christmas. And yours is slightly different to the other two, just so you know.
I haven't even looked properly yet.
Okay, it's a gold bag and there's a little card.
He's so thoughtful, this guy.
Might even say I love you on it or something. It says something lovely on it. I don't know. He's opening it now.
I have to see it now. Oh, it does. It's a special bar of chocolate and says, Happy Christmas, I love you.
There you go.
I love you too, Nikki.
The only one they had left.
Come here. You have ventured outside the world of pop music and pop stardom. You've done broadcasting before. Mm-hmm. Great radio presenter.
Thank you very much.
Even when you were my rival.
You get way more money on Today FM, though. I've just recently learned that.
However, you've jumped back into that side of things with the podcast.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I love this podcast.
Thank you very much. I'm loving it too. It's something I've always wanted to do. When I say podcast, it's something I've always wanted to get back into, radio, TV, that type of stuff when I had time. So I'm not one that likes sitting around doing nothing when I have the time. So we finished the big tour of Westlife that's lasted the past. In fact, I think we kicked it off in the Aviva 2.5 years
ago. That's right. I was at my twin daughter's first gig.
Was it?
Yeah.
She never recovered since.
There's two of them because they're twins, as you well know. No, the two of them, they literally talk about it now to this day. It was really? Them and you and the Sugar Babes. It was just unreal.
Okay, brilliant. That was 2.5 years. So we finished that tour now. And in the last 6 months or so, maybe even longer, I've been kind of building up to this and getting people in. And I love, Dave, I love the long form style of interview. Yeah. And, you know, radio, I'll be here for 8, 10, 12, 20 minutes, whatever it's going to be. And it's great fun. But when I was on radio, when you're hosting it, you're there for 3 hours. And you know all about that, and it's fun. So when you sit down with brilliant people, whether it's, I've had so far, Tony Mortimer this week from E17.
That's right, yeah.
Brian McFadden's been on there. You know, Bertie, my father-in-law's been on there. Louis's been on. There's been so many. But to sit down and start where they started, as in where you grew up, what was your ambition, what were you like in school, what went well, what went wrong. It's been brilliant moments.
It has. And I think podcasts are amazing for that reason, that it gives you a chance in an interview podcast to spend the time on things that, as you said, in radio or even on TV in a chat show, you're still working against an ad break. Mm-hmm. An ad break is coming up and as the host has to go, I've got to wrap this up in 7 minutes or 17 minutes, whatever it is. But you don't get the chance to kind of go deep with people except in a podcast format.
Very true.
You've got that now. Yeah. And let's go back to the start. Let's go back to Brian, which was the first episode and the one that grabbed people's attention. Obviously, certainly helped you launch the whole podcast. But it was what amazed me most about that was I don't know why I thought that because there was no real animosity necessarily between Brian and the lads West. I know you weren't hanging out with each other, but
we didn't love each other after, but we didn't hate each other.
Yeah. But I don't know why I just assumed that you guys had talked it out, that you guys had sat in rooms and it was all fine. But this was the first time that you and he were able to really talk about this stuff, and you were doing it on recording, which was a great, great thing.
Well, I had met him, into him, and we met him in LA years and years ago. We just happened to be over there recording, and he was living there. And he texted one of us, and we went for dinner. And that was the most weird thing, because we had a dinner with him for 2 hours, and Westlife wasn't even mentioned.
You see, that's the thing.
And then I met him at Stephen Gately's funeral. But again, different circumstances,
or
very sad.
Sit down chatting
And then I bumped into him at Old Trafford, weirdly as well, at a Champions League game. And he was standing at the bar, you can imagine, the two of us, myself and Shane were together that day. And I saw Brian. You can't miss him. He's huge. He's actually bigger than I ever remembered him, by the way.
Right.
He's enormous.
He's a big
I used to
man.
Think I'd be able to, you know, take him if I had to. I don't know if I could now. Too old. But no, he was standing at the bar, and I said, Brian, after all these years, it's your round. He turned around and we had a good laugh that night. But you're right, this was the first time we sat down and got into the nuts and bolts of it all. Yeah, we were only young as well at that time.
And particularly Brian, as he explains in the chat, the decision he made was the decision he made at that moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's not someone who seems to live in regrets or anything like that, but he just looked, that was the decision. There was no other decision to be made for him at that time. And it's a fascinating insight. And then when I saw Brian was on, and then I saw, okay, Gary Barlow's on, I was like, okay, this is going to be all boy bands. Then Katie Price is in there. And then Bertie Ahern is in there. Like, you're really genuinely not just focusing on, oh, there's a lot of pop, obviously. That's your world, and it makes perfect sense. But there's a lot of different people in there as well, which is fascinating.
Well, I suppose it's a bit like the radio. Yeah. I want, you know, when I was hosting on radio, and like, you'll know, you'll have me in today, you'll have a footballer in tomorrow, you'll have a politician on another day. And I wanted people to know, or I wanted to do more to the point, and be quite diversive and just have... And be it a chat show, a radio show, on a podcast form. So you've been in the studio. You know, I wanted to make sure it looked kind of important and, you know, interesting. And
but it's also really comfortable. So what Nicky's done is he's built a studio in his gaff, right? And it's, as you said, it's all the things. It's all the lights and the things. But when you sit down, because you and I sat there only recently... And you just relax into it, and it's very comfortable, and you just get chatting, and
everybody's crying on this podcast. Oh, and that's not the aim.
No, he's not on purpose trying to make people cry. Although I have inside information,
right,
that there is a podcast episode you recorded with your mates.
Oh, stuff.
There's a certain fella called Paul.
Oh,
hi, Paul. And he's been on to me this morning to make sure I ask you about this. How much of the 3-hour conversation is going to be broadcast?
Zero.
Really?
You know what we say? All the lads came over to the house, and they were, when the podcast started to come out and do okay and do well, they said, can we get on it?
Yeah.
I said, lads, come on. And then kind of alarm bells went off. That'd be really interesting to do the lads on a Christmas special. So we all got Christmas jumpers. We all have our beers in front of us.
Right.
We're telling jokes and pulling crackers. But you can imagine, you've got, Dave, you know, your own mates. You've got 6 or 7 or 8 lads. And they're not,
filters.
And also, they're not used to being in front of a camera or a microphone.
Yeah.
So they're swearing, they're saying things. And you're like, lads, this actually isn't the pub. None of this is going to make the cut. You know? And it's funny. But there's a very funny moment where one of the lads stands up. We did a little Santa sitting on the edge of the desk.
Okay, okay.
Right? And the Santa fell off during the interview. And I said to one of the boys, I said, Graham Hussey, isn't it? I said, Hussey, you wouldn't mind picking that back up there and putting it back up. So he's trying to steady the Santa because it keeps falling over.
Right.
And as he's bent over steadying it, one of the boys jocks him behind.
No.
There's 4 cameras in the studio, Dave.
They're super high def.
I don't know if this is going to make the cut. If it does, Christmas jumpers, it's very funny. Very funny.
Okay, we'll find out. Right, so Nicky Byrne HQ, that is the podcast. Search it out. It's everywhere you get your podcasts. And I love the fact that there's also little video snippets, of course, on social media, on YouTube, and you can go and watch the whole thing as well. So
One thing I have to say, I forgot to say to Brian. 2 things, actually. One, the Westlife Dolls, right?
With
Westlife Dolls back in the day. And I still have Brian's in the drawer in my house.
No way.
I never told him that. He's not out on display.
He's not out on display.
He hasn't made that.
But he is there. Come here, there's another bit of the Brian McFadden story that you haven't told anyone yet. Go on, what's this?
So years ago, I don't know if anybody ever knew this. I don't think I've ever told it. So years ago, myself and Brian were all at Westlife. We were coming back in through Dublin Airport and we landed. Remember the old terminal? Well, it still existed, but before the new one.
Yeah.
And the baggage carousel. We came through before the bags on the right and the toilet was on the left.
On the left, yeah, I remember.
So we went into the toilet and, you know, you've kind of got people coming and going. It's very busy in those airport toilets. So we went in, we used the toilet, and as we were leaving, the late, great Ronnie Drew was walking in.
All right.
Now, this was 99, 2000, so we were well known. We just exploded. I think we might have even had the Christmas number one that year. So we were well known, as in people were stopping us and stuff. And I saw Ronnie walking in and I thought, I went, Ronnie! And straight away, without any hesitation, he went, will you two have a feck off?
You and Brian.
I still laugh about that moment. Still do.
I thought you didn't say feck.
And you didn't say feck.
Yeah, exactly. Come here, I want to cast your mind back, right, and see if you remember anything about this song.
What a moment.
That's what I want to know all about, because that's Mariah and Westlife and Against All Odds. First of all, like, What a song. What a performance by all of you guys on that, but particularly her. Have you any memories of that whole insane episode where you get to sing with Mariah Carey?
So we were in Indonesia on promotion.
Yeah.
And I remember the door being kind of nearly kicked off the hinges. And it was the lads. Someone had got the call from management and labels to say that we were doing it. And we had to fly the next day or probably even that night to Italy. So we're in Asia, obviously. So yeah. we flew to, where I think we went to London first, and then we went on down to Naples. And then we got on, we were picked up, this is true, we were picked up after the airport in Naples. We drove to the harbour and we got on Mariah's yacht. Right?
This See, is true. I did not know that.
Right? But when we got to London, just so I remember now, Keane had forgotten his passport.
Oh, God.
So Keane had to come on a later flight. So we got on the yacht, the four of us, and this was just banana stuff. This yacht, Mariah, this isn't like yacht. A dinghy.
No,
this
no,
is
no, no, no.
Superstar stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, we got out to the studio and that evening, should I say, and we met her that night for the first time. And we went to a dinner in an Italian restaurant, obviously. And we were there first, and it was inside-outside restaurant, and then she kind of floated in. She had this like kind of white dress. It was almost like she was like, just,
really?
Yeah, not real.
Yeah.
And she floated in towards us, said hello to us all. And she did that really showbiz kind of thing where she takes your hand and goes to kiss you on the cheek.
Right.
And then as you get close to the cheek and you're thinking, I'm about to kiss Mariah Carey on the cheek, she kind of just moves away.
So there's an air kiss.
Yeah, and nobody gets to actually make any sort of contact to her cheek.
Did you sit down and chat with her then?
We had dinner with her. We had dinner first. We hadn't recorded the song at this point.
No.
We recorded the next morning. So Keane arrives in. We went to the studio, and the studio was the highest point of Capri you can get to. And you have to walk up all these outside steps. So there's like 250 or 400.
Presumably Mariah's carried up by a couple of lads.
She floated up, I don't know. And we got in and we did the song, and she co-produced it. Like, she stayed there for every single vocal. And that was the moment I remember doing the backing vocals in that studio, where Mariah was pressing the communication button going, just give us like one more time there, Nikki, thank you. And you're like, oh, this is banana. I'm from Seagrange and Bald Oil. What's going on here?
Let's have a listen to her, because she's talked about it.
Oh, she's
a good one. Also growing up, I remember there's an Irish band, Westlife.
Yeah.
Love Westlife.
And but I mean, you have your own Against All Odds, you know, track. But then I liked it when I also really enjoyed the book when you guys were featured together.
They came up to the studio in Capri where I was working.
Yeah.
And that's when Simon Cowell?
It was Simon. I think it was Simon.
Yeah, he was their manager. And they came up there and we filmed it and everything.
Yeah.
And the guys did their parts and I kept mine.
Those are some cute guys.
They were adorable.
That was me. That was that part. Yeah, obviously
you were the cute guys. Definitely. And listen, like, when you're sitting down, whatever about working in the studio with her, that's such an honor. But when you're sitting down having dinner with her, like, what? Like,
what are they talking about?
Yeah, is she like, can she have a normal conversation? Because famously, she's the kind of celebrity. She's so famous for so long that she does not know how much a pint of milk costs or any of those. Yeah. Like, just sort of like, what are you? Well, I mean, it's a long time ago as well.
It is, but I do remember. See, we met her after that a few times. We performed the song with her over the next couple of years on the odd occasion. But the funny story that, in terms of conversation, we were doing a photo shoot together in a nightclub during the day in England one time, about a year after the song. And while they were setting up the kind of backdrop and stuff, we were all in a booth in the nightclub, the five of us and Mariah, just chatting, shooting the breeze. Yeah. This is like 11 o'clock in the morning. And her PA or whoever came over, management, and asked, you know, do we want coffees and so on? And we were sitting there, and I remember asking her where she was at some big event. I can't remember exactly what it was. And as she's answering the story to me, her PA leaned over and handed her, I think it might have been a Coca-Cola, in a can with a straw sticking out. And she sucked from the straw, but she didn't even break eye contact with us.
So
the straw came in from the side. And we were like looking. And then, as that went away, somebody else leaned over and patted her mouth. This is Mariah. I mean, would you want your divas any other way?
No,
you
know? They've got to be like that.
She
That's
was
the
lovely.
Only
and,
way.
And we met her years and years. We went down to see her in Wembley Arena as well. And myself and Mark went into her dressing room after her show in Wembley, and there was like loads of champagne, and she leaned over and said, guys, can you open one of the bottles? And I went to open the champagne and I corked it, and I went, oh no, and I left it there. I put it back down and I said, Mark, you open that. So he got the blame.
Mark's in trouble.
Funny.
Ian the Postman says, Nikki, that's my favourite Westlife song of all time as well. Good man, good taste from Ian.
Thanks, Eno.
I just want to say how patient Nikki was last Christmas when we bumped into him. My daughter nearly had a heart attack when I asked could we have a photo, and with her nerves, she couldn't even get her phone out of her coat pocket. Nikki, you're a gentleman and made her Christmases, Ailish. There's another one here from Ray who says, can you please ask Nikki, now the tour is finished, any thoughts on a new tour? Big fan here who went to Boston last March to see Westlife. Surely after 2.5 years of touring, give him a break.
Yeah, I mean, we're planning. Yeah, we're planning. Okay. You know, we're celebrating 25 years of touring soon.
Touring, yeah.
So, we might do something, but not right now. We're going to just take a break.
Okay, very quickly before I let you go, Christmas time.
Mm-hmm. Mistletoe one.
Sorry,
I thought it was a competition.
Yeah, finish the lyric. Are you a romantic Christmas giver or a practical Christmas giver? I'm thinking particularly along the lines of your good lady wife, Georgina, right? The reason I'm asking this is because in the last few years, I tried to give my wife, Tracy, a bin for Christmas.
Okay.
Now, it was a cool bin.
Okay, I'm not going to judge you just yet.
It didn't arrive in the end, so I didn't give her the bin, but it was like a...
Like you didn't want to put her in the bin or anything.
It was just a bin. I just thought it was so cool, and it was connected to Wi-Fi and it bagged itself. And
oh, wow.
You waved your hand and it opened, all this kind of stuff, whatever. She was very happy in the end when I told her, like, you know, hey, the bin didn't arrive. She was like, thank Jesus, the bin didn't arrive. But are you like super heartfelt romantic stuff? Or are you like, listen, I know you need a new lawnmower. I know the garden shears are blunt. Here's your Christmas present.
You know what? You've just demonstrated that's what comfortable is. As right. You know, you trust each other. You don't need to be looking for diamonds or watches you know, Louboutins or anything banana stuff. You can just get a voucher or get a bin in your case. You know what? I am romantic with gifts, but I think we're getting more practical now.
Okay.
But again, don't let that romance die, Dave. Don't change next year's into a bin liner or anything.
Right, right. Try and keep the big bin.
Up your game.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, quick question for you before you go as well. We all have your posters on our walls when we were kids. What did you have in your walls when you were a kid, poster-wise?
I had Ferrari 328 or GTO. Back in the day. I had Erica Elniak, Shawnee from Baywatch. Remember?
Do you know what? She's, like, I've put things out on X or when it was Twitter before. She just like replied.
Okay.
Like nothing to do with her. It wasn't like, hey, love this babe. Like it was like, go United. And she's like, yeah, United. So I'm like, what the hell's happening?
Buy her a bin. See how you get on.
See what happens. Yeah.
And I had footballers, Lee Sharp, Roy Keane, then obviously, you know, back or later years.
Because people probably know Nicky was a goalkeeper for Leeds, but of course.
What about Ahmad yesterday?
United fans through
and
through.
Yes!
So I'm top to toe United here today. And the final question for you, Nikki, is what is your favourite thing on the Christmas dinner?
I love stuffing. Yeah. I love mushy peas. Not everybody in the world has mushy peas for Christmas dinner.
No, I didn't realise that was a thing.
It's a must on my plate.
Mushy peas.
With there the gravy go. And the stuff and the roast potatoes and then the turkey. And I mean, after that, you just want to... go to sleep.
Sit down, eat your bar of chocolate that says I love you from Nikki from Westlife.
I don't think the card is great. You can read that later.
Okay, Nikki, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Keep an eye out on Nikki's podcast, Nikki Byrne HQ, and of course Westlife back on tour. Who knows? Very soon, right? Whenever we get him out of the studio, we'll get him back on tour.
Dave Moore
on Today FM.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.